Welcome back to His Time. It is time to talk about Bible Feast, the church calendar before the incarnation, and that means it's time to talk with Pastor Kevin Parviz. Good morning, Pastor Parviz.
Good morning, Andy. Thank you.
Last time we talked about Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the connection to Advent, still talking about the church calendar before the incarnation. What do we have today?
As I understand the schedule, we are looking at the Feast of Booths, or what we call Sukkot.
Sukkot. Feast of Booths, Feast of Tabernacles.
Feast of Tabernacles. It's another one of these harvest holidays. Of course, the Israelites were an agrarian people, and God knew they were going to make their living off the land. A land of milk and honey. That was so nice. This is another one of those harvest festivals where we thank God for bringing the harvest. And he, you know, inexplicably brings us off those harvest fields at the busiest time of the season to come to Jerusalem, pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and make an offering. But I think it's, as I said before, it's a reminder that it's not we who bring the harvest, it's God who brings the harvest, and we bless him for that.
So the busiest time of year, harvest, all the crops are coming in. It's time to do all this labor, really, to reap the harvest. And God says,
time to rest. Time to come and worship. So, so it's a good lesson for us on Sunday morning if we're in a rural community to remember that it's, you know, you don't have to work 24/7. We know we're tempted to. There's so much to do, and you don't have to be a farmer to feel like you have too much to do and no time to go to church. But it is God who calls us, gives us our vocation, and it's appropriate to thank him for that. And that's kind of what the Feast of Booths is all about.
We kind of see this this concept, this way of thinking, in several instances throughout the Older Testament. Is that what we call it?
I like that.
First thing Noah does, sets up as soon as they get off the ark, doesn't he set up a temple?
Yeah,
or I mean,
exactly.
Set up an altar.
And Abraham as well. Or, you know, when he gets, he doesn't break ground for a house. First thing is he builds an altar. I think it's important to remember. And yeah, the Feast of Booths is also a reminder of the wilderness wanderings. And of course, in the wilderness wanderings, you know, our people got freed from the Egyptians, had an amazing rescue across the Red Sea. And now they're complaining because there's no garlic and leeks, you know, this food. and it's, you know, how are we going to eat? You brought us out here to starve. You brought us out here to thirst to death. And every time, everywhere along the line, God provides for them to the point where their shoes didn't even wear out during that 40 years. And it's just a remembrance that it is God who is our provision. And, you know, we're wandering in our Christian walk. We wander in the wilderness, this world. We are aliens in a strange land. And we need to remember that it's not our labor that brings the bounty. It's God that brings the bounty and provides all our needs.
Well, let's trace back Feast of Tabernacles. What's the tabernacle all about for those who maybe don't have a good strong knowledge of the practice or how the tabernacle was established and what happened there?
Well, I mean, of course, the tabernacle was established by God in the wilderness to be the place of his residence, if you will, the place where his Shekinah was going to reside, his presence. And of course, as that came into Jerusalem and the people became landed and became settled, the temple was built and the tabernacle was no more. But the tabernacle is also simply just means to reside, to travel with, and so we are remembering that God travel, even though God, you know, in the time of Egypt, the concept was that gods were geographic gods, and that was the point of all of the plagues that were fleshed down upon Egypt, because it was proof that God was, that the God of the Israelites was not a geographic God. He was the God, the King of the universe, the God of the whole world. And yet even that God deigned to tabernacle amongst them and to walk with them in the wilderness in the tabernacle. And of course, that's the language John uses when he talks about Jesus coming and tabernacling with us. He dwelt among us. He became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the whole concept of the tabernacling, is God dwelling with us.
He came and lived in this earthly tent.
Yeah, yeah.
He dwelt among us.
And so, we, yeah. You know, when we, of course, when we celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, there is that understanding that God with us, Emmanuel, the whole mm-hmm. concept there of, you know, God is both King of the universe, and he not only dwells with us, but he indwells us with the Holy Spirit. All of that is tabernacling. And so there's a lot more. I mean, in Jewish culture and tradition today, it's, you know, it's a nod to the feasts and the provision of God for the harvest. It's tradition to build a little booth, and then Jewish families in the backyard, you know, with a roof that you can see through, because we know God is our roof. You know, it's not the man-made roof that protects us. It's God that protects us. And then we take a meal in there, you know, during the course of Sukkot, which is an 8-day festival. It has much greater significance for us who believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, because, as I said, in John, it talks about him coming and tabernacling with us. Mm-hmm. And tabernacles is one of those things that you have to understand, or even understand, like John chapter 7, where Jesus is at the Feast of Tabernacles and makes this kind of disconnected, if you just read the text of John 7, this disconnected statement, you know, all you who are thirsty, come to me and I will make springs of living water flow from you. He's using the Feast of Booths as a sermon illustration, because on the last day of the feast, the priests are pouring out these great urns of water onto the land, and they're using that to show that the harvest is here and the harvest is coming, and God is providing the harvest and all of this, and this water is life in the earth and all of these things. And Jesus uses that pouring out of the water to say, hey, you, if you're thirsty, it's not just water on dry ground. Come to me and I will make water flow from you. Hmm. And that's part of that whole tabernacle experience.
He mentioned that the Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Booths, 8 days, is that correct?
Yeah, most, we like to party. So yeah, most of our festivals are 8 days, yeah.
Now, has it always been 8 days, or has it become an 8-day festival?
Yeah, I think it's always been an 8-day festival.
In the midst of harvest.
Yeah.
I mean, 8 days of you know, set aside apart from work in the middle of harvest. Yeah, that would be challenging for someone who's got a big crop coming in.
And thinking, not to mention, it's a pilgrimage holiday. And of course, in those days, you had to travel a long time to get there. So, you know, certainly you probably left behind people to do work for you. Mm. But it was important for you, who were a people of God, mm-hmm. to take that time and say, this is, you know, God is calling me to worship.
When is Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles?
It's the last of the great three feasts of the fall. So it's usually sometime in October, during our harvest. Obviously, as I've said before, I think the Jewish calendar is mm-hmm. Is connected in some sense to keep the harvests in the seasons in which they are intended.
What month on the Jewish calendar is that usually?
It falls in. Now you got me. You have to edit this, Andy. You have Tishri, of course, is when Rosh Hashanah is, uh-huh. and then 10 days later is Rosh Hashanah, is Yom Kippur, and then 10 days later is Sukkot. So it would usually fall in the month of Tishri.
Man, so you got all these holidays
right in a row there.
That's a busy time of year, not just harvest, but all these.
Well, in some sense, I think, too, that God set these pilgrimage festivals wisely. God is no slouch, obviously. He set these wisely because in Israel, especially during the fall and during the spring, those are easy travel times. In the winter, they have rains. The wadis are amazing, and the water just floods out the land. And in the summer, it's just so hot and dry that traveling is very difficult. And so he set all of these pilgrimage festivals in the spring and the fall, and it makes it much easier to travel and to be a pilgrim.
When it's not too hot, when it's not too wet.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Hmm. So Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths, 8 days, you set up a booth in the backyard.
Yeah, and you take your meals back there. I mean, you know, we used to, when I was a kid, you know, tent camp. Uh-huh. Our congregation has a way in which, because Sukkot is is both a celebration of the wandering wilderness wanderings, the harvest, God's provision, and all of these things. The tent, the, as I said earlier, the booth is supposed to be sparsely thatched so you can see the sky through it. One of the traditions that our congregation has had at Sukkot is to go tent camping and mm-hmm. take telescopes and just watch the stars and enjoy the fellowship of the people. And it's a lot of fun. It can get chilly, but it's a lot of fun, yeah.
Well, we are discussing the Bible Feast with Pastor Kevin Parviz. We've got more coming up next week. Hope you can join us for that. Thanks so much, Pastor Parviz, for explaining Sukkot.
You bet. I hope that helps, and enjoy.
Thanks.
Yes.